Hello, everyone. Welcome to the channel. Kaylee here with another amazing success story from someone who I had the pleasure of working with for some time, Tim. Like we worked together for some time, both with the mentorship and then our integration program where you are today, which we were just talking about before the call, but we'll share with everyone. So welcome.
Hey Kaylee. Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute, but I got to practice the stuff you guys went saying, so it's glad to be here.
Yeah, it's amazing to see your growth and I get to share it with everyone. Let's rewind first. Let's start back for all the viewers who are watching and don't know you. Tell us about your story. When did anxiety start for you? How did it start? And what were your biggest symptoms?
So anxiety started for me back in 2015. I think I was just in a I didn't know how to handle my relationship at a time. So I remember you're just fighting a lot and just, regular relationship stuff, but I wasn't very just good at handling it emotionally. On top of that, I think I was trying to do a lot of work. So I was working maybe 50 plus hours, and then on top of that, traveling every day with I believe it was like a 3 hour commute. And I just remember at the time, I remember freaking out about the randomest things. Like I'd see like things on my body, like like a little growth or a callus or something. Like, and I didn't realize at the time, but I remember slowly, now that I understand what happened, now I understand like that's where all my health anxiety started to develop because I kept acting on those inclinations. And at the time it started becoming that way. And then I remember just one day I was at like a Home Depot, just picking up stuff. And I think I was like started to have a panic attack or something. And I could not for the life of me understand. I was like, I went back and forth to the bathroom. Am I gonna throw up? Do I have to like pee or something? Just like random feelings. Like, and I could not understand it. And I remember by the time I got home, I remember I was like, okay, I calmed down for a second. And then I threw up. Like I was just like, okay, something. I was like, what's going on with my body? And this, I think that moment was just like I was on aware mode about this feeling. And I don't, and every time I start to get a feeling of something, like all of a sudden I'm on like this detective mode and I got to figure out what this thing is. So I've had that since like that was 2014, 15, right? And like basically because I carried that habit, I just randomly would get panic attacks. I think that's probably the ones I get the most. The panic attacks. I know I had like bouts of depression, and it was mostly sadness. Like I don't know why. I know some days I'd wake up and just start like crying. I'm like, why is this, why am I feeling this way? And I always like to, looking back at it, I remember I was attributing it to like maybe I experienced something in that time, or someone said something to me. I think the worst feeling I had, the one that really freaked me out, was the DPDR. That one, because it was just like, what is this feeling? I remember I ran. I remember I was getting those feelings again. I remember I just was like, okay, I need to step out the house, and not really, still not understanding what's going on. And then when I ran to my auntie's house, and I was just like, auntie, I don't know why I feel like I'm high or something. Like I thought I was losing my mind. Like for sure I had lost my mind, because the DPDR, like when that stuff, it starts to feel like the world's slowing down here and there, and the disconnect starts to happen, you're like, oh my gosh, something is happening to me and I'm about to die. Something like that. And that was probably the worst. And on and off, I would mostly get like the panic attacks, and the disconnect wasn't so bad, but it was mostly the panic attacks, the sadness stuff. And then if it got bad, the disconnect would start to happen. Yeah, those were most of my symptoms. Oh, you know what? I remember because I would go to therapy every once in a while, trying to understand this whole anxiety thing. And so I kind of understood a little bit of the acceptance therapy. I didn't do acceptance therapy, but I started to see that word go around like just on my feeds. So I thought I understood it. But when I got to your guys' class, I was just like, whoa, this makes way more sense. Like I could understand like the whole, I felt like I only had like one fourth of the pie, you know? When I took your class, it was just like understanding it, the full spectrum of it. And it's actually quite amazing. I would go for like maybe 3 months, no panic attack, feel great, feel like life's normal. then all of a sudden I'm back in. And I would continue this for like years, years and years. So I didn't understand. I just thought it was like, you know, as everyone says, it's just something you manage, you know? Every therapist told me that thing, you know, everyone told me that. And getting, when I encouraged on the video, I was like, recovery, what the, no one said anything about, out of the 8 years that I've had this, no one said anything about recovery. So when I found you guys, I was all about it, dude. Like, I was like, let's go. Like, I don't even care what you tell me. I'm just going to do it.
And that's fair, right? And we feel all the time, right? People are feeling great. And they're like, yeah, I'm feeling great. And they go and they live and they're having a good time. And then, as it always does, it comes right back, right? If we haven't really got to the root of the issue and addressed it. Or just in general, like, anxiety recovery is up and down, right? As our body kind of gets back to baseline. And they come, people come flying right back, right? So, you know, it's really important, not, and as we'll talk about, to not only learn about it and what's happening so that we are, you know, we understand and therefore we're able to respond, but also build our confidence in responding in those, you know, those low moments as well too. My next question is, and you mentioned one thing, which is therapy, but beyond therapy, was there anything else you did to try and fix it? We always hear some of the weirdest stuff people that do.
Well, luckily I didn't have a lot of weird stuff because I'm poor. So I could not, like, when I hear someone's like Sean's stories, I'm like, bro, if I had that money, I probably would, but I didn't. And what's weird that I can say this now, not having money to go to the doctors or get some weird tests and stuff, it literally like made the situation better because I was forced to accept it. You know, I think not knowing acceptance at the time, I was literally forced to accept it and just live life. I know at one point I didn't have medical insurance, and then I was getting my grant. Like, I remember I got a EKG one time. This shit was like $900, dude. Like, that to me, that was a lot. I know Sean spent like some crazy amount. That's, you know, like $900 for a little test that took like 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, this has got to stop. Like, what else? I know I did a lot of prayer stuff, self-help books. Like, I think those are pretty standard. I think one good thing I learned was the word acceptance started to get around. I started to understand that there was this idea of acceptance. But the way people talk about it, people can talk about it so many different ways. And that was the thing that was starting to confuse me, because you'll have one anxiety person talking about, oh, how I got at it, and it'll be like a different way to how you guys say it, to how someone else says it. Some people don't even think about recovery. Some people think this is how you manage it. So I've done that too, where you're just managing it. And I think maybe the best I got was, like, I started not going out more. I started to, everything catered to my anxiety, right? So if going out felt meant feeling fear and anxiety, then I would not do it because, oh, that's me managing it, right? And I was maybe like, okay, yeah, this actually works, right? Managing it actually works. But my life was not the same. I didn't go out the way I used to, and I'd still get those feelings whenever I would go out, you know? So how do I really, really resolve this? And, you know, like I said, just found you guys.
That's good. And you know what? I always joke as well too, because I know Sean spent like, I think, tens of thousands of dollars. And Sean's story, for those of you who are watching and maybe haven't heard it before, but I guess Sean's rock bottom or his turning point was when he went to the hospital and paid tens of thousands of dollars to do every test in the book. The doctor's like, okay, let's run every test. And literally every single test came back normal. And he was confronted with having to accept, right, and face the fact that nothing was actually wrong. And I always joke, because I, as a Canadian, you know, we can't just go to the doctor and just and pay. It's free. But with that model, we are kind of, we have a gatekeeper, which is our family physician or general practitioner. So you have to go to your family physician first to get a referral. For me personally, if I had health anxiety as well too, Tim, I had to really overcome those thoughts, right? Because my thoughts were always, well, what if you haven't done every test? You haven't gone to every specialist, right? And those anxiety thoughts that we all know and love, which really helped me in that sense. Like, in hindsight, like looking back at it, I was like, you know, really frustrated that I couldn't do all these tests. But in hindsight, I'm actually glad I didn't, because I didn't need to do them. And really, it was not about doing it to just disprove my anxiety or to like overcome that thought. But to overcome the thought, I actually had to let go. And that was the big thing.
Yeah, that's 100% right. I honestly think OJ too, when he brought me on, I remember he mentioned that about thoughts. And I was like, what does that even mean? Like this idea that we're not our thoughts, that there's no such thing. I could not believe that. And honestly, that's kind of like what I look forward to. So whenever you guys are speaking on the calls and basically on the calls or anything, like I remember whenever you guys mentioned thoughts and emotions, I'd always be like, you know, like that's the thing I need to figure out, because it was so foreign to me, you know, and to this day when I'm like, I could recognize it now, you know, I could recognize that, I'm not my thoughts. I can actually move on from this. And I do want to say for anyone listening, like it does get better. Like it's so, it really feels good. Like you really get less of those thoughts. Like the more you just, and it's weird. It's like, it's such a weird line to cross, because it's like, you have to let the thoughts be there, but you can't really engage with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's such a weird line. And most of the time, you don't even realize you're engaging with them. Then that's when you kind of like, the awareness comes in. You're like, okay, just stop. Go play video games, do anything else. Like this thought about this, like heart palpitations or wherever it is at the moment. Okay, it is what it is. You're going to have this for the next 2 hours. I always tell myself, just give it two, 3 hours. Go play video games or something, and then let's see if it's slower.
Yeah, no, even while you're playing, right? If your mind is able to move away from that, and you're able to forget about it while playing, you know that that's your focus and your anxiety keeping it alive. But yeah, I love that you mentioned thoughts, Tim, because I always say, always, like people come in and they're like complaining about their DPDR, their heart palps, like they have all these different things, right? And they think the root of their issue is the symptoms. But I always tell them, nope, the root of your issue is your thought. And anxiety started with your thoughts and it ends with your thoughts. And even though we have these host of symptoms that are manifesting, it's not actually about the symptom. It's the narrative that you tell yourself about the symptoms.
It's crazy. I like to think of it now like, it was like you could be the main character in your story, or you could be the guy analyzing the main character in your story. And a lot of times when it's anxiety, you're that guy analyzing that story, and that's where it's telling you like, hey, this is wrong, this is da da da, this is etc. It's this whole over analyzation habit, you know. You were one of the first people like where you started talking about the thoughts, and like totally like when it took me a while, geez, it took like a few months at least to just understand that concept. But what I loved about the program too was that I saw you saying it to others, and so it wasn't just Tim's panic attacks, right? You saw it in someone's situation at work. You saw someone, not even fear related, it could be sadness related, it could be anger related or irritability, right? That works the same way. And whenever you guys would point that out in others, I would realize I could see that, and then I could apply it to myself too. So like just the program was like really great in general, you know?
And that's the beauty of community and recovery. One of the things that personally I think would have sped up my recovery journey and would have helped me, because yes, you're having to apply things to yourself, and as mentors, we help you to, I guess, call out when you're making those mistakes, but you're also able to see it in other people. And by seeing it in other people, it helps you to see it in yourself, which is really, really beneficial.
That is like even seeing them recover, and you see them like whenever just like saying the worst stuff on the forum or the platform, and then you see them just like complete sunshine. Like it's so cool to see that, and you're like, man, I hope I'm that one. You're thinking you are that. If you guys can see, you guys see the mentors see the what do you call it, the manufacturing process, right? You're almost like, oh, this guy, he's gonna get out. He's at this, like he's like 6-9 months in, he's gonna get out soon. Someone coming in, they probably think it's the worst. I remember coming in too. I remember like the first meeting with you guys, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so depressing. Am I ever gonna get out of this? Yada, 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 yada. I'm like, I'm gonna be stuck in this panic zone forever. And, you know, I was like, what do I have to endure? God forbid, what do I have to endure to get out of this. Like, it was just, the talk was so intense, you know? And at the time, it was like, yeah, so were the symptoms, right? But like you said, I will always say the thoughts and emotions. Like, that is the one thing I've always, like, paid attention to even now. Like, yeah, I think it's a lot foreign concept for a lot of people to understand that we aren't our thoughts and emotions.
I always say that's one of the biggest blessings of anxiety for me, is that prior to anxiety, I was just living. My thoughts were controlling everything. I had no second thought about my thoughts. They just were there, and I assumed that's who I was. And actually, I think when I fell in, that's what was so hard for me, that my thoughts became so negative and dire, which we know is a symptom of the anxiety. And I, because I always connected with my thoughts and believed my thoughts are who I was, when my thoughts took that turn, I was like, holy crap, like, I'm going crazy, something's wrong with me. And it led me to spiral even more because I still believed my thoughts. So being able to separate from that, and I love that you mentioned, Tim, that it wasn't an overnight thing, right? And it isn't going to be for most people, not all people, right? We can't change habits or change ways of being overnight. It's a practice that we have to get really good at recognizing, right, our thoughts, and recognizing those automatic or instinctual reactions we have to thoughts or emotion, and learning how to drive that wedge, as we were talking about earlier. I always mentioned in, like, the alarm process, which is what we teach in the program, right? That driving that wedge between a symptom, a thought, or an emotion, and your automatic reaction, kind of move from reaction to response. So that's where our control is.
Anyone who's going through the program, as they go on months on end, they slowly start to realize that, oh, I have a choice to do this emotion or to respond. It's such a simple concept. I mean, we say it all the time. It's a simple concept, but man, how can you not do it when you're angry? Or like,
it's hard. It's hard because literally our body's hijacked by the anxiety. So we literally have our brain, right, trying to get us to resist, right, and to react, because it's trying to protect us, right? So we're literally not only having to fight against ingrained habits that we've had for a very long time, right? A lot of it is habitual and, you know, ways of thinking that we've had, but also we're fighting against physiology, right? The stress hormones, our brain, and our body. So it is challenging.
I would always try to be brave about my anxiety, right? It's like, because it's a fear-based thing. Like, I always try to be brave, that if it scared me, I would go and do it. But for me, it was, let's say 3 months max, maybe I would feel great. And then 2 months in, I would just be back in this anxiety zone. And it was just like the panic attacks started to happen again. So before I joined you guys, it was that kind of this, oh, let me be brave choice. I'm going to get off the SSRIs, right? And then when I joined you guys, it was like, oh, okay. Like, I understand how the SSRIs work now, you know? And I think maybe a month in, I was like, okay, I actually wasn't, actually when I even when I went to the doctors, they were like, dude, this is not even doing anything for you because it's such a low dose, because I had lessened my dose over the years. And I swear, when I look at the program, I almost felt like I was just tying a bow to finally getting out of this whole thing, you know, because I felt like I really wanted to. I felt like I was trying. I just didn't know how to, like, put it all together and make it all make sense. And I definitely feel like anyone who's gone through anxiety for a long, long period of time, and they kind of, like, manage through it, I totally vouch for this program, because it's going to be so easy to just finally take this monkey off your back. It's that life-changing for me. And it's such a simple thing, but I just didn't get it, I guess. You know, I guess just the luck of the draw. I didn't, no scientist, no medical profession told me this, no fortune teller anyway. I just randomly got the YouTube video from Sean.
It's hard, right? I think there are those few people that can recover by themselves off, like, because Sean posts all this stuff for free, right? He had all the videos, he has the blueprint. You know, other anxiety healers that, you know, we recommend, like Claire Weeks, like, the answers are all in the books, right? But it's really, really hard to apply it. Like, I needed help in my journey, you know, with anxiety and with many things, the human psychology, right? it's hard to be self-aware. It's hard to be self-awareness is something that every human being struggles with. And how do we know what mistakes we're making if we don't know we're making a mistake? If we don't know it's a mistake, how do we know to stop doing that? Right. So having, whether it be a mentor, a guide, a therapist, right? Or you mentioned in the program, we have the mentors like us, but you also have other people that you're hearing things that they're doing and we're pointing it out or, you know, correcting them or saying like, here's a better way to respond. But you would never have asked that question because you didn't recognize it was a mistake, right? You're like, oh, I was doing that. And, you know, now I know that I shouldn't be doing that. Right. And, that's the power of community or getting support with the recovery journey.
And also because the community is interactive, like meaning that we too have the opportunity to engage with others and give advice to others, that I always believe when you're teaching, you're also learning, right? And it's such a great opportunity to do that because you see it all the time. And then you also want to, you're like, oh dude, that guy was where I was at 3 months ago. I'm going to say something. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally like that. Yeah, it's such like a such a school academic feel. Oh, weird.
Yeah,
it's crazy to think about. Actually, I wanted to tell a story real quick because I remember.
Yeah, go for it.
Doing like one of the ways I was doing it wrong was look. So people will say, "Oh, if you have anxiety, you exercise," right? And I understand that now, right? But I remember at the time I would have an anxious day, just like it's weird. Sometimes the anxiety kind of like hovers throughout the day. It's not like a full blown panic attack, but it's kind of like it's kind of creeping on you like the whole day. Anyway, I had one of those days, and I remember it was like I was like late into the night. My day's already pretty much done. I started heightening a little bit, and then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go work out. I go and work out, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be healthy too. So I'm gonna fast. And so when you do that, your body, your body's already stressed, I'm stressing it more. And I remember that night I had one of the worst panic attacks in my life. I woke up, I remember I started banging my cousin. I was living with my cousin at the time. I was like, hey, wake up. I think I'm having a panic attack. And then I was like, I did the whole like, oh, splash myself in cold water thing. I was like, it's not working. Like, it was horrible. I was like, I could not get out of this except to just sit down and calm down. Like, I literally just had to sit. It was like the only thing that worked. But I remember that because you can do things wrong, like, even though it's told you're, even though people recommend it, and you could totally just use it completely the wrong way. And in that situation, it was because I was doing it with the intent to get rid of the panic, right? One, and then two, I stress my body even more. So the whole nervous system sensitization is more sensitive, right? And yeah, pretty simple concept. But I remember that, and I was just like, this sucks. I don't know why I got this. And then, of course, I barrel down on the whole cycle again where I'm like trying to figure out what's wrong with me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where my thoughts are going at the one on my talk, right? This idea of jumping between strategies or, you know, getting different advice from different people, like throwing water on yourself. I've heard of like an elastic band on your wrist, right? Are not the most helpful, right? And yeah. And like you mentioned, at the root of it too, is just that if you just understood what was happening to you, right? Okay, I'm sensitized. Okay, when I fast, that's a stress on the body. When I exercise, it's also stress on the body. So my already sensitized nervous system, when I do these things, of course I'm going to have a panic attack because I'm stressing it out even more, right? But imagine like you having that understanding, right? How different that workout would have been. You would have maybe felt the panic coming up and been, okay, yeah, but I know why I'm having it. I'm working out, I'm fasting, and I'm going to get this. I'm sensitized, normal. Or you might say, maybe fasting before working out when my body's already stressed is not a good idea. Let me make sure I'm fueled properly, and then I'm going to work out. And yes, it still might aggravate me, but you know what? I'm sensitized. It's not dangerous. My body needs a feedback to know that I'm okay.
This isn't even dangerous. Not at all. It's literally just the feeling your body is giving you. And I hate it because sometimes I still get it, especially if I push myself. I'll still get it here and there. And I have to like kind of realize again, like, hey, this is just, you know what this is, dude. Calm down. Like, so yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really, yeah, such amazing points, right? And just how much it is important to stick to one thing, right? Whatever that thing is for you, and give it the time it takes to heal, right? Your body time to heal.
Actually, we didn't even talk about setbacks. Let me tell one real quick.
Go for it.
And when I was with you guys, and I could not, for the life of me, like, understand what I was doing wrong, you know? But apparently I wasn't. I just had to be chill with it, right? But geez, man. Yeah, I definitely went through a period over with you guys with a horrible setback. I could not stop crying and being sad and being panicky. It was actually around this time. It was around January, February. And I remember, like, at that time, too, I could not sleep for more than, like, 2 hours or 3 hours. It was crazy. It was something like that. I mean, I was catching you guys on the other side of the world when you guys had those calls. But that really, those setbacks are a freaking blessing. You guys are going to hate me saying that, but they really are, because they're the things that teach me every single time. Whenever the hard feelings came in, I had to learn that these were nothing. It's your opportunity to learn that. You won't learn it any other way, because that was horrible. When I wouldn't sleep for like a whole like two, three months, and that didn't even get, it had to gradually get back to like 7 hours, right? It was like, maybe it was 2 and 3, then it went to 4 and 5, then it went to 5 and 6, then I finally got to like 7, nearing 8, and I'm pretty normal now. But geez, man, that was like, that little stretch was horrible. But I'm glad you guys were there, and I'm glad when I explained it, you guys can show me, like, hey, this is what this is, da 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 da. This is why it's happening. And I just had to be patient with it. I really did. It was, if I were to like think about one skill, it was like just being patient with those feelings.
Amazing, right? And I think for everyone watching, the main thing that I want you to take away from what Tim is saying is just listen to his mindset around things. Right. It's like, oh, yeah, I have most of you, right, who are, especially if you're struggling, right? It's, oh, no, I'm having a setback. I don't want to experience this. Why is this happening? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But Tim, just how he explained it, it was like, no, like, I need to have them. Right. I need to have them. It's part of the journey. And for this entire conversation, I want you, if you're going to rewatch it or if you're listening, right, to hear Tim's mindset towards the symptoms, right, and how that's changed, because that is the root of success. Is changing our relationship with our symptoms to be able to experience them, because you will be experiencing it throughout the journey to get to recovery, right? And changing that mindset, and therefore, but that mindset change, changing your response. So with that being said then, you know, where are you today? How are you feeling?
Today I am doing great. I have my own apartment now. I work. I'm still working full time, which actually comes down to like me still applying the thing where I'm like, okay, let me get a full time job, which I'm actually about to start in mid March. So I'm going to have my full time job, and I'm sure that'll be a whole nother, I call them adjustment periods now. Basically going on with life. I'm just trying to live the married life now. And I finally started to get some like downtime. So I was like able to come here and do a little interview, but pretty much just going on with life, and I'm still responding the same way I do. And I think I just carry a lot of the habits that I picked up from the program, like still to this day, even if it could be anxiety related, it could be life related, but I know I just try to, it's weird. I try to push now. It's such a weird thing, because I know it's like, I get these feelings, but I also know that it's not like the end of the world. And so whenever a challenge comes, I try to take it. I try to take it all the time and just do my best with it, because that'll always be the thing. You'll always just try your best, and then you just move on to the next thing.
No, it's amazing. And I think I want to just point out for everyone who's watching, you know, a lot of times people will hear, oh, he still has symptoms. He is not recovered, right? Or they start freaking out. It's like, oh, like, you know, what? He's still having symptoms, because that's the root of all of our problems. We want these symptoms gone. But recovery, if you look at recovery from a macro view, it's going back to what we talked about in the beginning of the call, right? Recovery takes time. our body takes time to get back to homeostasis, as we would call it, and fully level out. And I think, Tim, you're mentioning that now you don't have symptoms, right? Your symptoms on a daily basis is pretty much gone, or is gone.
I actually want to, because I thought the exact same thing when I first joined you guys. I was like, there's no way, there's no way. And because the, you know, you do hear people say that, but it's true. It does. It's like the volume gets slower. It's not really like, oh, it goes away. I promise you though, it gets slower and it's less intense, and it doesn't last as long. But also, that's because you are also responding better.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, you said, right, like now for you, it's you don't have it every day, but when you're stressed or something stressful comes up, you might feel the volume turn up like a little bit. You start feeling it again, right? And I was telling Tim like that's how it was for my journey too, right? It took me time to get to a place where, it was pretty much gone every day, but when I was stressed or I pushed my body a bit too much, like I would feel it poking its head a little bit, right? But with the right with recovery for me as a mentor, right, is when you have Tim's mindset. So now Tim has his mindset. He's able to respond to whatever comes his way. Just a matter of time from this point where even stressors won't cause you to feel symptoms. Or sometimes too, like think about like people who don't have anxiety, right? Or people who, or yourself before being sensitized, you still experience symptoms of stress. Right, like when you didn't sleep for a couple days or you overworked yourself, right? You may have had a headache, you may have felt like a little bit off, right? Symptoms of stress are normal, right? So also remembering too that.
We still see you guys responding. I did remember noticing that too, because Sean would tell stories of stuff that he's going through in his life, and you guys would share your stories when where you're still responding, and that helps a lot because it's true. It's like it's an ongoing habitual practice.
And that's why, people often get scared, right? They hear, well, what if they fall back in? Like, what if I fall back in one day, right? And the first thing we always tell people who join the program, and I'm sure you've heard it a million times, Ken, is that the difference between you, a lot of people have recovered before and fell back in, like they have this like view, they feel better, then they go back. They feel better, then they go back, right? Or other people who like, recover and then fall back in. If you ask them what happened, they say, well, I just felt better. I don't know what I did, right? Because it's unconsciously that they do the right thing, right? But in the program from day one, we really emphasize, no, what are you doing? What are the conscious things that you are doing? Or even unconscious, we're trying to show you, make it more conscious now by pointing them out to you, right? But what are the things that you are doing that keeps anxiety alive and keeps you stuck in this system, right? So that you're able to get out of this consciously, so that you never fall back in.
I like to say that it was like the slowest magic trick reveal ever. Like, because it was just like, what? That's how that works? What? It actually works when you do this? And slowly over, because I said that too. I was like, man, like maybe 7 months in, I was like, I don't want to fall back in. I don't want to fall back in. And then like give it a few more months. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm ready to fall back in. Let's just go on, because I'm tired of thinking about falling back in. You know? But I think it's a good experience. The setbacks, it's just like the setbacks, because it's exactly like the setbacks. You just fall back in, and it's going to teach you the habits that you're overlooking.
Did you want to say anything else for your last point and what you would tell someone on your last point?
Well, I want to say it when someone's at their lowest point, and this is, maybe they're going to hate me. To me, it's always been patience. If I can't do, sometimes it's like so. Basically, it's got a hold of me. The fear is so intense that I sit there and I just wait. I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna feel crappy for the next however long it ends. Usually, I'm not even gonna lie, it usually doesn't even last longer. In my case, like than 30 minutes. Like once I like okay, once I start sitting there and time it from there, I'm like, okay, the 30 minutes of feeling like crap, I'm gonna go read a comic book or play some video games or something, and never really lasts that long. That's one. I actually wanted to say one more thing was and I think this is a Claire Weeks thing, I believe, is the it's there's a difference between acceptance and putting up with. Me, and to me, it's always it's learning to make that jump. And I had to, in that point, you kind of really have to be real with yourself. Maybe that's another advice. Really be real with yourself. Because some people will say, oh, I'm accepting. But like, really, when you sit down and analyze it, you're probably not. But there's that tolerant mindset, that putting up with mindset is not the same as the acceptance mindset. And that's the line you want to try to cross. It's almost like a black and white line. It looks the same. The actions of those two things look the same, but they are different in mindset, completely opposite. And it's such a beast to get around, you know, to be fair. That's such a hard thing to learn. But to me, that's where you start to make changes. And the thing I love about falling into the anxiety cycle is learning that one little thing, that little difference. It forced me to be accepting. It forced me to be a better person, right? I know we've said that before, but it's so true. When you start to learn that putting up with, and like, you know what? Yeah, I can't. I'm going to accept this for what it is and make something else more important.
Awesome. Thank you, Tim. That was an amazing interview. Talked about some really, really important topics, and I'll be catching up with you. So for those of you that are watching, you know, I hope you got a benefit out of that. And as always, leave your comments down below. If you want to learn more about our mentorship, or, you know, even download the blueprint menu we talked about, it's down in the description box below, and we'll see you around.